This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
It's time for the 3-4-3. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight. I'm Jason Longshore, Madison Cruz alongside. Three local stories, four headlines, three things that make me smile, make us smile about the game that we love so much. We might even have a bonus tonight if we have time. Let's see what happens. Three local stories. Luke Brennan, number one. He scored for the US U-20s in their win over Mexico at the kind of friendly series they're doing over in Spain. 3-0 win. Noah Cobb also started. Drew 1-1 with Japan today. Really good performances from the Atlanta United reps with the U-20s. Number two is the Atlanta United reps with the U-18s, Dominic Chonqui and Caden Moore. They drew 2-2 with Morocco on Saturday. They're going to play Norway tomorrow before making their way back to the States. Maddie, you've had the chance to see all four of these guys plenty over this season so far, preseason and into the season for Atlanta United and Atlanta United 2. Really cool to see two Atlanta United reps in each of the U-20 and U-18 sides.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just go ahead and start with Luke Brennan and Noah Cobb. I mean, Luke Brennan not only is making waves within the first team, he's also doing so much stuff with the twos and just what he's able to bring. I feel like we've seen him really grow up, I think, over the past year and a half. And he's continuously improving. And, you know, it's awesome for him and Noah to be getting the call up, especially for the U-20s. And listen, we were talking about the center back situation, you know, with the U.S. I mean, look no further than Noah Cobb. He is,
he is
arguably the loudest person I hear at every training session, no matter what. And
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if it's Miggy, if it's Latte, if it's Caden or anybody. He doesn't care. He's vocal and he's solid in the back. He's able to get everywhere you need to get him. And I mean, if we're going to look no further, maybe you bring up a young Noah Cobb, but
he's got to get his opportunity here and he needs to then do what Will Riley did. If the door opens, injuries happen, he plays with the first team. He needs to not give the spot back.
Nope.
And we'll see if he's capable of it. Dominic, I mean, Noah's a first-team player by this stage. Luke is trying to establish himself more with the first team. Dominic Chonqui will next year, I think. I think he's shown that already, that he's really close. And Caden Moore's young. I think Caden is a player who's got a little more time at center back, but he's a left-footed center back. We'll see if he can get his way into that mix, as he'll be on a first-team deal starting next year. One more on the local side. Number three, South Georgia Tormenta. They advanced in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup last week, a 3-0 win over Harbor City of the UPSL. They're going to host 4-0 SC next Tuesday night in Statesboro in the second round. They'll be favored in that one as well. And we'll see if South Georgia Tormenta can go on a little cup run.
Listen, the lone Georgia team in the Open Cup right now, they got this. I have faith in South Georgia Tormenta. Nah, it was fun watching them in that 3-0 victory over Harbor City. It was awesome. Love South Georgia Tormenta. Always fun. You know, hopefully they can go through and they can, you know, win the Open Cup. And listen, I don't know if you've heard of a local team, you know, here with us in a local league called Sons of Pitches, but Cartwheel FC, we could listen.
You're not entering the Open Cup.
No, we could try. Come on.
No, you're not.
Our team could kill it.
All of you would get injured in the first 5 minutes of the match. That's what would happen. And it would be in the headline segment like these. And number one that shocked me today is Laurent Courtois getting fired in Montreal. The guy has to play 6 games on the road to start this season. The guy has not had in his short period of time with CF Montreal had any money spent on a designated player. No transfer fee has been spent on a designated player by Montreal since 2014. The guy somehow took all of that he had to work with and got them into the playoffs last year. And we saw them in that wild card game. Laurent Courtois was one of the most underrated managers, according to a poll of sporting directors around Major League Soccer that was published earlier this season. And Joey Saputo woke up on the wrong side of the bed and decided to fire Laurent Courtois before he even got a home game this year. What?
It made me so mad.
Yes.
I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning feeling great. Feeling refreshed, you know, I was ready.
I wasn't after the U.S. men's national team game, able to shake that one off that easily.
That is very fair. But I saw this news and it just made me mad because CF Montreal was going to be, I think, the team that was going to surprise a lot of people this season, because I really like what Laurent Courtois has done with that squad and what he was able to do with what little resources he had at his disposal. Not only was he able to do that, he was able to develop such a young group of guys and put together a team on the pitch that could do so much stuff. And it's a testament to what he's been able to do, not only at the MLS Next Pro level of developing talent. He did that with the first team. I don't understand the reasoning, especially because it's the first 6 games of the season and they were all road games. It's already so difficult to play in MLS on the road. You're not giving him a chance. He got your team to a wild card match last season. He fought the entire season. What? I agree with you. I was very upset. I'm very passionate about it. I'm very upset. I don't think it's the right call. I think it is the wrong call, and I think Montreal is going to regret it as the season goes on.
Joey Saputo's crazy. He'll probably forget that it happened in 2 days because that's just what Joey Saputo does. He likes to blow his team up and not spend any money and then fire managers and blame them for it. Good job, Joey. We'll see how this works out for you. Number two on the headlines, CONMEBOL World Cup qualifiers tomorrow night. It's not as intense as it used to be in CONMEBOL when you had 4 teams get automatic spots to the World Cup and a 5th one having to go into the Confederational Playoff. Now it's 6 who go, and then the 7th one out of 10 go into the playoff. It's still going to be juicy tomorrow night. Bolivia and Uruguay start things off at 4 o'clock, and then 4 games at 8. Chile hosting Ecuador, Colombia hosting Paraguay and Miguel Almirón, and Venezuela hosting Peru. One more, Argentina and Brazil, just a little one. We'll talk about that in a second. So, Argentina leading everything. I think if they get a right combination of results, they can actually book their trip tomorrow night. One of those results would need to be a win at home against Brazil, where they have not beaten them in a World Cup qualifier in Argentina since 2005. Ecuador 2nd, Brazil's 3rd, Uruguay 4th, Paraguay 5th, Colombia 6th. I think the top 6 are locked. There's a 6-point gap back to the playoff spot, which is Bolivia. The playoff spot is wide open now. Bolivia's on 13 points. Venezuela's on 12. Peru's on 10. They can pull to 13 points if they win. and Chile is on 9. Everybody's still alive behind that. So the playoff spot is going to be fascinating. Argentina, Brazil, you've already got Rafinha going on Romario's TV show and saying that they're ready to fight Argentina on and off the field. They don't care. He said he's going to score. And he also said some things that I can't repeat on the radio in the United States. It's that kind of a game. That's tomorrow night. There's a really cool event that we will be at tomorrow at Fado in Midtown, the Noche de CONMEBOL. You can watch all of the games on the TVs at Fado. And I'm just going to warn you, it's Argentina. I'm a little passionate about Argentina, and they're playing Brazil. So don't show up in a Brazil jersey and expect me to be nice.
Me and Sophia might have to hold Jason back if that happens. So please, no, don't do that. No, that game's going to be fun. And, you know, listen, and Thiago Almada coming in with
what a goal from Thiago. Goal.
My goodness. It was brilliant. But it's unfortunate, too, because I really like the way that Uruguay plays. I really do. They are a fun team to watch. And I'm rooting for them. I know they're obviously in the fourth spot, and I think I agree with you. I think it's all pretty locked.
Yeah, they'll qualify.
What that's going to be. And then you also, too, you know, other Atlanta United, you obviously got, you know, Miguel. Then you also have Luis Abram with Peru. You know, it's
they're trying to fight their way back in. The door's open now.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's going to be a fun evening tomorrow to watch a lot of these games. But
one game that'll be done before we get there to Fado is Bolivia and Uruguay. And Efrain Morales, he started last game against Peru. This one's going to be at altitude in not even in La Paz. It's an even higher stadium that they've built in Bolivia. Uruguay, we'll see if they can handle that. That starts at 4 tomorrow. Then the other four games are at 8. And come join us at Fado Midtown if you're in the neighborhood. We'll see who else maybe books their spot out of South America. Number 3 is 2 teams who have qualified for the World Cup and could possibly be playing in Atlanta next summer, Japan and New Zealand. Japan got through their qualifying group in Asia with little trouble. Their spot's booked. There could be a few teams that join them after the results early in the morning in our time, in the evening in Asia tomorrow. We'll see if Australia, South Korea, Iran are all possibly able to book their spots tomorrow. New Zealand won the qualifying tournament in Oceania. They beat New Caledonia 3-0 in that match, and New Caledonia might have their way to get in via the playoffs next year. We'll see. Number 4 on the headlines, the U.S. bid for the Women's World Cup in 2031 could include games in other countries. Now, there's talk that it could be a bid with the U.S. and Mexico, and that was what it was originally going to be in a 2027 bid. They pushed that back. It's not really defined if it's going to be a joint bid with U.S. and Mexico right now. And look, the political climate has changed, so who knows? But there's talk in the last week of the U.S. potentially allowing games, if they get the World Cup, the Women's World Cup in 2031, to be played in places like Costa Rica or Jamaica, which would be really, really interesting across the CONCACAF region. We'll keep you up to date on where all of that could go once things get nailed down. It's still kind of early stages of putting that bid together. All right, 3 things that make us smile about the game that we love so much. Number 1 for me, Jacob Crumley, his success with the USCP men's national team. Jacob's a player who started in Columbus. His father has been part of youth soccer in Columbus since the mid-90s. Jacob and his brother Matt grew up on the fields at the Woodruff Soccer Complex in Columbus. Jacob started playing at 4. He's joined the USCP men's national team and has played in international competitions in Spain, Chile, England, Australia. He was part of the last World Cup last November, and he had an unbelievable tournament. 5 goals, contributed to 8 total goals, even played some goalkeeper in an emergency situation. Led a comeback in a 4-3 win against Germany where he scored an equalizer and the game winner while assisting on the go-ahead goal. So he was heavily involved in that comeback. Jacob and his team were training in Fayetteville last week as part of the Adapt and Thrive Invitational, bringing together many of the extended national teams. Maddie, you were there, and you've got a lot of content from the Adapt and Thrive event on the SDH Network. Let everybody know.
Yeah, absolutely. Had the chance to catch up with head coach of the CP men's national team, also heavily involved in all of the extended national teams in Stuart Sharp. We talked a lot about the Adapt and Thrive event. We talked a lot about the upcoming U.S. Training Center here in Atlanta, the, you know, going the chance to go to the site of the facility where it's still being constructed and, you know, what's to come for the extended national teams. And then I also chatted with a captain of the U.S. Women's Deaf National Team in Kate Ward. Captain and Atlanta native, talked as well about the event, talked about her being a captain and, you know, what legacy she wants to leave for the younger generation that's coming up right behind her. And yeah, no, it was a ton of fun. So go check it out on our SDH Network group on YouTube channel.
Yeah, I always love the Adapt and Thrive event. And it's really cool that we're going to get to have that here in the Atlanta area consistently from now on. Number two on things that make me smile, the ball boy in the Germany-Italy UEFA Nations League game. Paying attention to the game, Noel Urbaniak, he saw that the Italians on a corner that was awarded are arguing and yelling and not paying attention. And he saw Joshua Kimmich running over to the corner, tossed him the ball quickly, and it led to one of the most ridiculous goals that you've ever seen, embarrassing Italy, putting them into a more difficult qualifying group, knocking them out of Nations League. And it's all because the ball boy was paying attention and got the job done. Last one on things that make us smile, really quickly, Maddie, we were talking about it in the break. Cecilio Waterman from Panama, not happy, knocked the U.S. out in the semifinal, but the celebration with Thierry Henry was pretty special.
I mean, it's awesome. You know, he gets subbed on to play. He's able to score a goal to massively help his own country, you know, make it further into the tournament. And then you get to celebrate with one of his idols, his heroes in Thierry Henry. And, you know, I would totally recommend go watch the interview that they did with him on the Golasso Network. I mean, it brought me a little bit emotional. I got a little teary eyed for that one.
Yeah. Big props for them to bring him out. That was very, very cool. He was yelling at Henry, Idolo, his idol. It was so cool. It's very, very cool. Not great that he knocked the U.S. out with it, but at least we got some enjoyment out of all of it. Okay, Saturday, 6:30 pregame coverage from the Benz with Maddie and Abe. That will get us started. Kickoff will be at 7:40 Atlanta United and NYCFC. And then next week, we're back to Tuesdays with Atlanta Soccer tonight. We'll be after the Hawks post-game show next week on Tuesday, about 10:30-ish. Make sure you're subscribed to Off the Woodwork wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll get all of our soccer content from 92.9 The Game. Thanks for joining me, Maddie, and thanks to all of you for listening. Adios, everybody.